Wow. I got it. I have not. I have not. We are live.
Okay, I will call this meeting of the Budget Administration Committee on Monday, September 8th at 5:52 to order.
All right.
Roll call, please.
Director Israel.
Here.
And Director Gilchrist.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Any updates with the agenda?
No, I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
I will second it.
All
so
in favor.
Therefore, we vote on it.
Yep.
And
yep. That's it.
Okay. Open forum. Members have anything? Members. Oh, I think the minutes.
Yeah.
I wasn't here, so I really kind of
okay. And I didn't have any additions or changes.
Okay.
So I guess I'll move to.
I guess I can move and
you can move
second.
And you can second.
We'll yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll move in he seconds and okay. We will do them.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. All right.
Okay. Now, members from the public, any. Wishing to talk on any of the
matter. I knew you were going to say that.
I'm good.
We're good.
Okay. Okay. And we'll move on to the first item, which is the recreation leader job description.
Yes, this will be quick. You'll remember at our last meeting we talked about our lifeguard job descriptions, and so this is the exact same thing, but for our recreation leaders. And so this is just to make it consistent with that. You can see that both of them, let me see here. Oh, I just found a typo. Right there. You look at these enough times. I'll change that. You can see on the job description on attachment 1A, it says lifeguard, lifeguard 2, 1 and 2. And it says their pay. It's actually recreation 1 and recreation 2. So I'll change that one. That's what threw me off. But this really combined the two job descriptions into one. It didn't make too much sense having the two. And so this cleans it up, puts all the new language from HR in there that we should have had in there, and puts it into one job description. And then also cleaned up the background checks or made that a little bit cleaner. And then the last piece was the equal opportunity employer that was updated. We put that on there as well.
I have no questions.
I have no questions either.
Okay.
So, to the board with.
That works. So, take that one to the board. Okay.
Okay. Item number 2, the bylaws legal review.
Bylaws legal review, and there should be a copies in the back of the room. If you have Vicky, you get one.
I got one.
You get one, Barbara. And then Tim, you should have one with or no? Okay, there you go. So this was a conversation we had a while back, and it took legal a little bit of time to kind of go through it. This is not meant to be a final document. This is a jumping off point. So what I had legal do before we start to look at the bylaws for any potential changes that the board wants to make, we wanted to get the legal review done so you can look at this and say, okay, legally this is good, and then we do whatever changes you want to make from there. So these are all very high level. You can see in red, it's a red line version. His overall statement was they're not bad, they're a little outdated, and probably need to clean them up and make sure they're in alignment with our policies. So that's going to be the big piece, is whatever's changed in here or whatever policies that we have changed in the past, that they're in alignment with what's in here. So I just want to bring this to you just as a discussion point. I think the best thing to do would probably just be to take this document and just start going through it article at a time, maybe take a couple articles, you know, per meeting, clean that up, and then get it to the board as a draft document for approval of the whole thing. And maybe even get it to the board for discussion on all the changes. Or you can take them article at a time. So there's a couple different options for you.
So this brings us up to current state law.
Legal-wise, yes.
But I haven't read it, so I don't know what the changes are. There's a lot of red in there. But is there really anything substantial in there?
I think there's definitely some cleanup, and there's some language that's just old language.
Right, I mean, anything that's substantially different from what we do now.
I wouldn't, no, there's nothing in earth-shattering. However,
why would we take a lot of time to do it? I mean, I would just think it's sending it out to the board for our review and comment. You know, I would like the Word version, because I work a lot better that way.
I could send you the Word version.
You could, I don't know if, well, somehow get our, I mean, a initial, obviously you need to go through initial reading anyhow.
Yeah.
But maybe a pre-preview or workshop, something where you've given it to us, where we can give you comments on it, which probably not going to be very much. Mm-hmm. If Brian's done the work on this.
Brian's done the work on this, and it was just from the legal perspective.
Right, but it's probably going to be pretty tightened up, I would assume. Mm-hmm. So I would think we could move ahead with this stuff pretty quickly and not dawdle too much.
Yeah, I would agree, because the bylaws are supposed to be like really, really high level.
Right.
But then the policy support. And I mean, even if we just send it through saying, here's the legal review, and the lawyer recommends all these, but then if we have to go back and do some for our policies, we can always do that later. But this has to go to public hearing, and then,
because we're actually changing the bylaws.
At least a 2 month.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that this goes to the full board for approval or anything yet. This is purely, like I said, is just a jumping off point on the legal side of things. He did say there's other things we could and should put in there, but that was a board discussion first, or committee and then board discussion.
Yeah, I would throw it out of this committee with comments, and then bring it to the board.
So what I'll do, if you guys are good, I'll send the Word version out to everybody with track changes on. That's probably the easiest.
Yeah.
Get everybody's feedback and bring that back
to a committee
to look at all those. We'll compile everything. Look at all that, and then you can go from there. Does
great.
That work?
Yes.
Yep.
Like I said,
easy.
I expect this will be pretty easy.
Okay.
It's the policies that are
going to
take
a while. It's the policies. Well, the policies are 100%. They're a mess, yes.
Well, some of them are.
Some of them are just old and outdated, but it just takes time to get there. We need to create a schedule to get to them.
Yep.
Okay, so I got your input or direction on that, and I'll move forward on that.
Any public comment on this topic? I skipped public comment on the last one. Sorry about that. Moving on to the convenience gate.
We have to. All right, so this was a little bit more complicated. Okay, so let me give you the history and the background, and then I really want to get your input. So, as you know, we used to have a Cameron Park Lake convenience gate access program, and really what that was are the homeowners around the lake. Through the HOA, they bought an annual pass, and they also received a key. We weren't necessarily responsible for any of that. We put that all on the HOA, and so we had a letter that went out. It had their name. They were supposed to sign, and the HOA, they kept track of who paid for what. If they did not buy the annual pass, they did not get a key, and their gate was actually chained lock. Did I get that right? Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. So the questions came up, and I got a bunch of different stories. I talked to Jill on it. I talked to Monique because she used the program, and a couple others. And I was told that there was some legality questions that came up as to the program itself. So I sent the whole thing to Brian with all the history, the background. He's gone through all of this. He's actually rewritten and created a convenience gate access agreement, which is in the packet. We've cleaned up the actual program, so we rewrote the initial program to say what it is, how it's used. And interestingly enough, he did say we would have access to block the gates. So we still want to get more information. Well, what does that look like? It's on our side, so it's our property, but we don't own or maintain the gates at all. That's going to be the HOA and the individual property owners. So my thought is working with the HOAs again, have a conversation with them, reintroduce the program to them, because we want them to be the ones taking care of the keys, the access, and all that. We don't want to be in that game. As I've looked through all the documents, I saw where we sent letters out to all of the individuals, and that's just going to be time-consuming doing that. So I'd love to work with the HOAs. They have a list of all of the members, and they would manage that piece since we don't own or maintain the gates. And so this is just a recommendation. Like I said, we cleaned up the agreement's new. We cleaned up some of the other document. I added one of our fees in there. That's what I have for you tonight. This is a jumping off point. I know there's this won't be a popular program to bring back. And so I honestly thought we'd have like 20 people here just for this, but apparently not.
My understanding is that we did this up until COVID and then kind of fell apart in COVID. I don't know if that's exactly the case.
I think that's the part, but it was a legal question. Okay. Yeah.
And I thought all this was new. I mean, was existing. I didn't realize that it was new. But I don't know. I think we should have it.
Well, if you look at the fiscal impact portion alone, you know, we just did some rough numbers, and this is actually low. I think it's significant. And honestly, they pay the same taxes that any other citizen within Cameron Park does, but they get this special access to go in. We noticed this loud and clear during Summer Spectacular because we didn't put any locks on their gates, and there was chairs set up well in advance, and people are accessing all day long through there. It's a convenience gate. You should pay for that convenience, in my opinion.
I have a lot of questions. So the old program, was it supported by policy?
The old program, I do not believe we had a policy for that, no. But I will double check on that. Okay. I will double check on that.
So before we make this a program, we need a policy. I think. And then staff can go and make the program. Right?
Yeah, so I have two thoughts for you. One is we're going to talk about fees. Should this be roped into the fee program? Or we can do a separate policy, but the fee would still be in that.
I think there's a policy associated with the access. And then, yes, there's a fee.
Okay.
Which should be approved by the board also, which would be most simply administered annually through our former rate approval process. all right. So I think we should have policy discussion. So this is really good program stuff, but you got the cart a little bit ahead of the horse here.
How so?
The board head doesn't have a policy. We haven't said this is a policy that we want you to go ahead and do.
But for years and years and years, we charged it.
Yeah.
We charged the HOA. So I got to believe there's something somewhere.
Well, I don't know.
The documents I found were the ones that we went with. I had a whole packet that we came across.
So that's kind of just a general comment on just our process we're talking about here. My bigger concerns are, I think the reason why we gave up on it was it's difficult to enforce and administer. And so I'd like to hear much more specifics from you on how that's going to happen. How are we going to calculate what they get charged?
What do you mean calculate what they get charged?
Well, it's a household, right?
Yeah. So
is it an individual or a family?
I see what you're saying. So the range is $72 to $100. So we'd have to, they'd fill out the sheets because that piece is on there.
Isn't there fee for annual family for everything is like two something.
It's like 220 or 215 for.
Or is it gonna? So, would it be based on the family rate or an individual rate? How do you determine that? How do you manage that? Somebody gets a key and they can't go get it copied. I mean, these people are neighbors. So. I still see us having the same problem, which is enforcement. There's no way to enforce it unless we do something where you don't have to enforce it.
Take the gates off.
Well, you just say, okay, HOA X, you have this number of properties, and our fee is X number of dollars per property for the HOA.
Directly to the HOA.
Right,
and if you don't agree to it, we just weld all those gates shut or whatever we have to do.
That's what I thought it was.
But it goes to the HOA. The HOA is supposed to manage this, but we have been sending the letters out. I'm proposing that everything goes to the HOA.
So the HOA.
They get an invoice.
They get an invoice for us.
Correct.
You have 15 units. Their bill is whatever it is, 15 times 50.
Right.
And we get that money, and you get access, maybe not a key. I don't know what you, how you do it.
Yeah.
You have to figure that out, what, how you want to lock them, if you just want to go with the key thing still.
Right.
None of it's probably safe. But at least it's just those, and you could have different keys for the different, right? And so, and that way you would, you just say it's all or nothing, and it's a lot simpler to administer. And you'd have a separate cheaper rate, like Barbara was hitting on earlier, just for the access gates.
Absolutely. You're not driving a vehicle in there.
Yeah.
You're walking through your gate.
But you have this great access, and whatever that is worth per house.
You're paying for the convenience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, it's whatever the number is. So, we could come up with something reasonable.
So who actually put the fences in? Us or them?
I'd have to go back and look at that. I don't think we own the gates. That was clear, so I'm guessing that was put in before.
Do you know how many gates are there? Is it like one for each unit or...
Yeah, each unit has it. Okay. And I put the number in there. I forget how many rooms I wrote out.
So when you're... The seniors thing this year round is only like $72 for one person? Or is that a husband and a wife?
Again, that was unclear. It looked like most of them are $72, so we would just have to come up with what we want to charge for the convenience fee.
I didn't buy a house for that, even though I have to pay for it, but I didn't always have... I know that the only time I ever heard problems in the years gone by about those gates was the Summer Spectacular.
And it was a major problem.
The only time you might ask JR or somebody, how did they...
Well, we did. They put chain and they chained the gates.
In past years.
Yeah, they chained the gates. There's 43 identified units that have gate access.
Maybe... Well, at least come up with a fee just for each unit.
Yeah, it's just take it or leave it HOA.
But it should be the HOA. I want to
know. It definitely should be the HOA.
Yes, an HOA. It just goes into their annual fees.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an extra expense, just like the lawnmowers cost more.
Absolutely.
Do.
And they can decide whether they want to do it.
Yeah, and if they don't want to do it, come through the front gate just like every other citizen.
They have an option.
Yeah.
You're supposed
to.
But then we secure the gate somehow.
Well, so one of my questions, and my concern is, we got this pretty formal-looking agreement that does not deal with a liability associated with somebody accessing the gate and going into their property.
You mean somebody that does not live there?
Right. A thief.
But I think that's what the key in the lock was for.
Well, but we don't.
Is it keyed on both sides?
No, I think it's a regular lock.
We don't. Just,
yeah.
Oh.
So we provide them access. Somebody forgets to lock the gate behind them, one of the neighbors. Somebody comes through and steals a bunch of stereos or does something worse. If we're going to all this trouble with an agreement, do we put a waiver in there that says that the HOA or the homeowners...
There's an indemnification.
Indemnify us.
It's in there. It says it.
Yeah.
Well, it indemnifies us from damage to the gate, I think.
Any claims the district for any and all damages of party, including the licensee associated with the convenience gate and this agreement.
So I'm looking for a clause that covers us from unauthorized use of that gate where we could get sued because someone went through the other way because of this program that left it open and we're part of it.
I agree. Right? They should not have free access to the lake through a gate. They shouldn't. Not if we're going to charge everybody else who wants to park inside the lake and utilize the lake. Because, of course, you can still walk in, right?
Right.
Well, and they're still, even by agreeing to do this, they're still going to be getting the free ride while their friends who show up to go on the morning walk, walk down, go through that gate, and go, and they do not participate in the fee program.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a good deal for them.
Yeah.
And they just need to see the light.
Can I use that part of the educational package? we'll make some changes. I'll get with Brian again on that for the additional language for the indemnification. This is just a jumping off point. Like I said, I'm just bringing it back to get your thoughts on it. Is there interest in moving forward and reestablishing this now that we have clarity from legal that yes, it is legal? I think that again, from anybody else that doesn't live on the lake, we pay the same taxes. Why should you get another?
I totally agree with it. I would just look to try to simplify it as much as possible. And I think that maybe a separate flat fee and it just a go or no go. And
so no annual pass, just a flat fee?
A flat fee to the HLA.
The gate, it's a gate fee. You got each gate is $25 a year.
All right.
Whatever the number is.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I just want to be clear. So we're not going to require them to purchase an annual pass.
No.
Need to come up with a number.
Yeah, but so right now it talks about requiring them to purchase an annual pass.
Right.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is forego that and there's going to be a flat fee.
It's a fee per household.
Okay.
And the HOA, we would charge the HOA.
And the HOA will choose to charge their tenants or not. However they do it.
Yeah. Finances. And it would be just take it
early. Some people want to opt in and some people don't.
And they need to work with their neighbors.
Yeah. It's an all or nothing
thing.
It's got to be an all. Yeah.
Figure it out.
It's an all or nothing for the HOA.
It's not a long walk to the front gate.
Then the other one I would say is if they have purchased an annual pass, We allow that to be their fee because it's going to be more.
Yes.
Because there's going to be some that just purchase an annual pass because they're using all the facilities, and we wouldn't want to double ding them, right?
Well, how do we know? We don't know who lives there because we're charging the HOA.
We're charging the HOA in
one. And you know what? No, it's a separate thing.
Yeah, it's a separate deal.
This is a convenience fee, like you said.
It's a different deal.
Right? It's a convenience.
So they get an annual pass and they would have to pay?
Yeah.
Because they pay through their HOA. They probably are already paying through their HOA.
They might still be collecting it. You're right. They're probably still collecting that fee.
And we just aren't invoicing them.
Yeah.
That might be the sneaky part. You're right. Whoops.
No, yeah. When I buy a house and I sign the paper,
it says all these fees.
I mean, it's a simplicity thing for you, for staff.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't be creating these really just complicated administrative programs. We don't have anybody to administer.
No, I get it. Okay.
And this doesn't go along with the simplicity, but at our place at Tahoe, we have a private beach.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a gate access,
mm-hmm.
but to keep the people from learning the code and just random people show up at our beach, we change changes the code.
Gotcha.
And all the homeowners get this
an
month,
email,
the code
and, yeah.
is this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So you may want to monitor it and see if we start to see that the keys are getting.
Yeah. Okay. I think the key is coming up with a reasonable fee.
Yeah.
I think so too. And yeah, that's what we're going to have to look at a little bit to see what that. I mean, before, you know, it was $72 to a little $100, so. But that was also the annual pass. They got an annual pass with that, so. We'll have to come up with what that fee looks like. The fee will likely be less, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're just paying for the access.
Right.
So
yeah.
What are you guys thinking?
I'm thinking like 50 bucks. 50
bucks.
20 to 50
bucks. Well, we were also
talking
about.
But what is that? What did you say? How many houses?
43.
So 43 times 50.
2150, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. That's $2,000. Oh, but no, that's 43 gates. Sorry.
Is that 43
But how many
gates
houses behind
yeah, that's 43.
Yes.
It's 43 gates.
Yeah, that's 43 identified units with convenient gate access.
So
that is.
So it is.
Yeah, that is.
There's more people there's more homes in 43 around that lake.
That's all we counted in the list of HOAs that we had. We can go back and look at that again, but that's the number that came up with. So you said $50?
50 times 43 is 2150.
Yeah, something like that.
So that's not a huge revenue stream.
Not a huge revenue stream.
But it's something, and it keeps them honest, and they still are supposed to have a pass if they're doing anything else.
Yeah, listen, but the summer spectacular is worth it alone.
Well. So we have to talk about that. So just because we're having summer spectacular and you have paid for this convenience gate doesn't mean go.
All those gates get locked.
I agree. I think they have to buy a ticket.
All right.
They should buy a ticket for Summer Spectacular.
Yes. So then does that need to be...
Yeah, that should get in there.
Yeah.
So that needs to get in here for any special event.
I thought that was in there, yes. I'll look again. I thought I saw that.
I don't remember seeing that.
Well, that makes sense.
For any,
but that's a good point.
For any special events, the gates will be
secure.
And I think that was one of the problems that they had, that I was alluding to about the Summer Spectacular, because people, like a gal I worked with, she lived at the last ones, there was only like three of them, and they're like right before you go into the lake, and they would have big parties.
Yeah,
and not everybody had a wristband.
I've been at Monique's when that happened.
We watched, and then we sent security over there, and man, those homeowners came unglued.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't jump that on them.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Lake
people. So we probably want to move on this.
They're taping this, remember.
And we want to move on this so that we can implement it for the first of the year. Because the HOA dues are probably due at the first of the year.
I mean, I think we need to start out an education and conversation early.
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, it's only three months.
Yeah.
Well, so we're not moving this onto the board right now.
I wouldn't. I think we have more work to bring back.
Outreach
for sure, but I want to clean this up. Come up with what that fee looks like if it's $50. You know, we got a lot of work to do on that.
Okay.
We're going to look at the policy, and then the other thing we might want to consider, I'm going to run it by Brian, is do we just do an ordinance, which gives you more teeth? But let me play with that one a little bit. Then we'll look at the flat fee. And then if they have a annual pass, they still need to buy the access. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a separate deal.
I think I captured everything on that one. Thank you for the input on that. That's been one we've been working on for a long time.
Moving on to the district fee schedule.
Okay. District fee schedule. You're staring at me, Barbara.
Because I'm thinking
of
more people
might
ask you later.
Oh, did we get a public comment on that last one?
Oh, I thought we did.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't officially ask if they commented, so I can officially ask. Are there any more comments?
We'll let you know.
They're just jumping in without me asking.
You're right. There we go.
I was following Barbara's lead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without me asking.
On the fee schedule, it's been fairly loosey-goosey. And the fee schedule is, and there's actually law out there on any fees. We're supposed to be passing that by resolution or ordinance. And so we picked up on this one. We have a collection company we're trying to get to take care of all of our InterWest fees and those kind of our fire department fees. And they sent us information back saying, send us your ordinance or your resolution. And we looked, couldn't find anything. So I sent them the board minutes, approved board minutes, that said, hey, here's where it is, and that didn't work. I sent them the audio where there was a roll call vote, and they go, no, by state law, you're supposed to have, it's got to be done by ordinance or a resolution. So that got me thinking, well, when's the last time did we ever do that? So I got back, I want to say it was 2019 was the last time that apparently we did it, and it was a resolution. So I did capture that. I fired that over to them. They're reviewing that, but I think that we should clean it up because I'm uncomfortable where we're at right now because we did change in fees. It wasn't done by ordinance or resolution. I just don't feel comfortable with it. So I do want to bring that to the full board, even at the next board meeting. We'll look at the timelines and all that, but I think we need to start that process, even if we're adopting the same fees. and then we'll go into changing the fees and looking, because we need to do an update to the fees. The other part of this is, and this, you know, my opinion is, staff should make recommendations on the fees and bring that to the board, but the board should be the one to approve the fees via resolution or ordinance, whichever. So I would say resolution for the majority of them. And so remember, our fees are kind of all over the place because the general manager has approved some fees, and we have it. You know, in the document, it talks about what an annual pass is and what this is, or what are we charging for the pool, or what are we charging here. But a lot of more progressive agencies have what they call a book of fees schedule. And so we're starting with that, just a fee schedule. So we are drafting that document. The fire department's got one for their fire prevention fees, but it's a little bit outdated, again, because they were increased just as a roll call vote. So we want to look at all that. We want to make sure that we have our defensible space inspection fee in that as well. And so we'll probably make a couple minor adjustments, bring that to you for your approval.
Just FYI, sorry.
No, please, go.
Resolution 2303, fee schedule adjustment. Resolution.
Did it pass?
2303.
Yeah, I think so.
Because we looked and Mickey couldn't find anything, and the last one I saw.
2303 was in January 23.
Let me.
I'm just looking at the agenda.
Yeah, yeah. Let me look back.
I didn't drill down any further because I don't have.
My dates could be off. It might be that. Yeah, but that, I know we're behind. The last one actually was not because I listened to the audio and it was.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, no, we didn't. I know we did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, because
okay.
Alan, so this is the problem.
Okay.
At least this was my understanding of the problem. Is Alan's argument was there's nowhere in our policies or bylaws that actually say what you just told us.
We don't have that. I mean, it's law.
It's state law.
It's a fee.
It doesn't say it anywhere in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't say anywhere very specifically that the general manager was responsible for that either. But it does say that the general manager is essentially responsible for the operation of the district and the fees and the management of the money.
Right.
And that was his argument.
Right.
Was that the board didn't have a say. He did.
Yep.
And I was just, I lost my shit several times.
Over. Yeah.
Because he's saying that there's no policy.
He said it was his job.
The policy is
the general manager is responsible for setting the.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want the board to be basically approving what he wanted.
Right.
You know.
He just didn't want to. He wanted
so,
to keep
it state law,
so,
then.
No, not. So looking back, it says. Where was it? It says. Okay. So in community services districts, fire protection districts, water districts, the board of directors is legally responsible for setting fees. Staff, i.e. the general manager, finance director, department heads, typically develop recommendations, but only the board has authority to adopt and modify fees. And so when you look at it, it goes back, and it's a law. Mitigation Fee Act, and it's 6600, 6605, and 6115. And it's a very specific process, and you guys are the only ones with legal authority to approve the fees.
I think we need to look at our policies and bylaws and make sure it's clear that that's our responsibility.
Per the law, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Our board, the rest of the board did not agree with me. They
got
let it go.
Okay.
And they were just trusting Alan.
No, I get it. So I'm going to make a note on that one.
So, but that discussion is not just this one page. It's everything.
Oh, no, it's everything. And that's why we need to build this. I think at the very least, for the next board meeting, we need to adopt the fees that we have today so it's done and clean. But then we immediately, and we're already working on it, we will bring back this book of fee recommendations to you all, and you guys can vote yay or nay through a resolution on that. That's what I think
and
we need to do.
If you look at this one, I think it has, you know, it has basically two rate sheets.
Which one are you? Oh, I put two in there, yes.
It was essentially, this was for in 2023.
Okay.
But it was just two tables. One was like fire, and one was fees, and one was the rec. But what it didn't deal with are things like the pool,
Right, right.
And it didn't do a very good job with, I don't know if it, I don't recall, the fields.
No, the pool, the fields, MOUs.
Right.
Because there's a fee, the lane usage for the swim teams, any of those, what we're charging, like the 70-40 splits, or the 70-30 splits, 60-40 splits, I don't think any of that's codified anywhere. It's just been in an MOU. But if we're setting a fee, we should have that in the fee schedule, and it should come to the board for approval.
But the problem is you need to have a basis for the fees, right?
100%.
So how are we going to do that?
Yes and no. So I did this down the hill, and the consultant that we used, uh-huh. Because we were doing all of our fire prevention fees, those, 100%. You can only attribute so much administrative costs and those kind of things. But for some of your other fees, like what we're doing, that is a simple comparison of other like agencies.
Well, there is no simple comparison on the pool.
Yeah.
So, this is an age-old problem that we need to deal with on those very specific fees.
Well, we have our cost on the pool now. We know what our cost is on that.
Well, so do we have a policy as far as how that gets? See, we don't have a policy.
We do have a cost recovery policy that needs a lot of help.
Well, and my contention would be maybe we do a policy just for the pool to get started with that clearly states how we charge for the users in that pool.
My recommendation is just move forward on the whole policy, which is a cost recovery policy, because what we're charging for the pool is not far off from what our costs are. It's not as bad as we thought it was.
Well, love to see the data.
Yeah.
But
and Mark did go over some of that at a meeting.
But we need to do more than just cost recovery when 65% of the swimmers are not from our area, whatever the number is, right? We don't know what that number is.
Yeah.
We could ask for that.
When that, we'd have to put an MOUs and ask, you know, to get
their, I would
get
put the, that the in rosters. They have to report.
Yeah.
How many were Cameron Park residents?
We're actually exploring a concept where we do our 70-30, 60-40 splits. And all of those, we register everybody. That way we get the data. Right. And then we do the split. If we do the same for the swim teams, we're going to get that and we're going to know for sure. Otherwise, we're doing it anyways. If you're asking for a roster, you're verifying the roster, you may as well have them use our system, register everybody on our system, and then we do that. That's one of the things we're looking at.
Well, we got to really start positioning ourselves in these types of agreements to aggressively go for out-of-district money. And that means charging them more. You don't live in Cameron Park, you're paying more to use that pool.
Absolutely.
And it needs to be aggressive. I mean, it can't be, we're going to charge you an extra 50 cents a kid. No, it needs to be something that's significant and covers for the kids that are in there that are from Cameron Park.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Cameron Park kids pay $30 a year. El Dorado Hills kids pay $100. How do they deal with that disparity?
It's just a significant difference from Cameron Park. But when we look at our fees for like lap swim and things like that delta is not that big.
I know.
And same thing with pickleball. It's
$1. Yeah, $1.
It's $1. Same thing with the pool. It's $1 is the difference.
We're going to have to find ways to generate money from our programs. Mm-hmm. And if we're just breaking even, we're not doing good enough.
Yeah, no, and you're not getting an argument at all for me. I agree. When I looked at it, like the data and the letter I just was writing to you guys, I mean, you look at 25% of the kids in our pool are coming from El Dorado Hills.
Yeah.
25%.
At least.
That's a big number. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the study said.
O&R from our registry.
That is from the study that was done for the whole Lime Rock and Marble Valley. That was an outside third-party study that was done. And it broke it down by our aquatic center here. Christian McCulf, I think, was the other one.
The tractor program.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
that wasn't even good because it did it by zip code. So it didn't capture the unincorporated county. And that's where Mark could.
Yeah, but it broke it out. Yeah. It broke it out. I just looked at it today.
It broke out. Who was here?
Yes.
And it, but at Cameron Park was actually more than just Cameron Park.
It was. Yeah, but Eldorado Hills was Eldorado Hills. It did mention Placerville.
But we have no idea how much actually Cameron Park is.
Yes.
How much that unincorporated county is, for example. Mark could do it if you guys pay for the program. They can geofence it and just select like Cameron Park.
Mark's the one that did this one. That's where the data came from.
But he didn't. He did it when he was for Eldorado.
I literally just talked to him about that today before this meeting.
But he was GM at EDH when he did it.
Yes, but he was helping us here for this.
Yeah, but still, if you look at it.
Okay. I'll go back.
Check the geofence. Otherwise, we've got a whole bunch of Shingle Springs potential. People.
Got it. Because we'll look at that. I know a lot of it pings off phones and things like that, the technology they're using. Yeah. So I'll talk to Mark.
It's cool stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think if it's not too expensive or we could get a trial version, I think Alan may have already burned that. I don't know. But if he didn't, being able to run those numbers and actually
that's phenomenal data.
Look at what's from Cameron Park and not just a bigger area.
Agreed.
Which takes a little extra work from what I understand. Yeah. Would really be good arguments for our other development issues and all that.
I mean, all of our parks.
Yeah.
You know, I saw some of the data and for Rasmussen and where they're coming from, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. So I think all of our facilities.
Well, and that's where we need to be asking the county for some money to support our rec program.
Right there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't
right now.
I don't think we're going to get it, but we can. Yeah. We can.
Start
say, well, no, but what we can say is we need help. That's the first place to start. And then you say, well, and by the way, your people from Shingle Springs are going to be getting charged a lot more to use our facility now because we can't afford to run it.
But to your point, Director, is we're getting to a point where we're doing more data-driven analysis and decision-making. Because right now, we don't know. It's just swag. But now we know exactly how many people are coming here. The other thing is removing the school. There's a descriptor here on this building that says we're a school, so it's blocked all that information. So we're looking to get that removed. But we did get 20,000 visitors a year to the pool, 75,000 visitors a year to the lake, 47. And these numbers they surprised me. 47,000 to Krista, 45,000 to Rasmussen. I'm like, whoa, those are big numbers.
Big numbers.
They're getting used
because of Krista, probably because of soccer and stuff.
Yes.
Right.
Dave West was, one of our newer parks. I looked at that one, and it was, the numbers were relatively low, but at the same time, the large majority were not from the community. So, but it was good data. Your point's well taken. I think we can make sure we incorporate that. We did talk about cost today is $13,000 a year. So I told Mark, hey, let's talk to Eldorado Hills, and maybe we can, do a joint thing with them, offset the cost of the entire program when we get full access. I just $13,000 a year. It's
all. Can I speak?
Yes, public comment. Public comment on this topic.
Why make it hard? I mean, the fact of the matter is, we know that a lot of people from outside our district use all of our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it costs to do the pool, and we, at the very minimum, we want to allocate that amongst the various people and projects that use our pool. At some point, can't you just kind of come up with a number that you think is basically negotiable? But we're going to charge you a fee extra because we know that at least half of your kids are from outside our district. And we're not going to take time to spend money to get a program and try to get them to sign in when people start lying about where their kids live and all this other crap. Just come up with a number. And how badly do you want these people to use the pool? And to say, this is what the fee is. Bing, bang. We don't have to justify it to them.
Yeah, no, we do.
Why?
It's law.
You have to be able to show. You can't charge, I forget the term.
You have to.
Well, you're charging them.
Your fees have to be based on what it costs you to deliver those services.
You have to be commensurate with the services you're providing.
That are not, you're talking about adding more or costing more for people who live outside our district.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I can justify that, though.
Right.
Yeah,
they don't pay
taxes.
They pay no taxes, yes.
Well, yeah. So, why can't we just kind of come up with a number?
That's what we're talking about.
Yes, we.
I mean, but we're not having to go through all of the.
We don't even
rigmarole to just to verify it. You know, get a.
But I think the board needs a policy that says that okay, if you're out of town, I think El Dorado Hills CSD actually has a pretty good policy for how they're supposed to kind of
cost recovery policy. We have it, and we're
yeah, but it actually right says it has a methodology.
Yes.
And it's come up with a methodology.
And it says basically if your organization is
great community benefit
and it has this many local kids in it, then you get the cost X percent of the cost. And if you're Y, it's specific and can be enforced, and it's
a great policy.
Yeah. Versus ours is all just wishy washy and just says you have to recover costs.
Fine, have a policy. It just—I hate to see you guys get caught in the weeds of having to, once a year or once a quarter or whatever the heck, figure out which kids have moved on from the program and which kids are staying there, and how many.
Well, the computer does all that. When we say registration, they just need to register. So whether we're registering or we have the swim teams giving us a roster, it's one and the same. We got to enter that information in to verify, or they're entering directly in our system anyways. So I think we want to do that. And the reason why we want to do that, the collateral benefit is if we do it, data is power. So now we can advertise all of our programs and everything else to that list of people. So we definitely want to collect the information.
Okay. Are we recovering our costs from the swim teams currently?
It's not necessarily swim teams itself as the entire pool. And so I thought, just anecdotally, I thought that the swim teams use the pool the most of the time. And it's actually pretty even. So we actually are more. I think we're like at 27%. And then I think the Sharks was next, and then Aquasol was next. But with Rec Swim and Lap Swim, we actually have the pool quite a bit.
So does that include capital costs?
It includes our annual costs. So we looked at our fuel. We looked at solar, and all those kind of things. We baked all the chemicals. We baked all of that in there. The maintenance staff.
So you need to bake in the capital replacement costs also.
Yeah, and I'll ask Mark, but I think we actually put like the cost of the repair of the pump, replacing the pump. I think we did put that in there as well, but I'll take the back
look at
that. Because the ultimate goal is to be self-sustaining. Right?
The pool will never be self-sustaining.
Right.
No pool is self-sustaining.
The ultimate goal is for it to be self-sustaining. The same thing with your recreation programs and other programs, to have them pay for themselves, for the building, for your staff, for whatever. Yeah.
I think
minus 3% of our tax revenue. Right? I mean, we do get 3%, whatever, just $2 million a year. That supplements all these things, right? That's the idea.
So I think you're never going to be cost neutral on some of these programs, but you want to offset your costs as much as possible. And the board makes that decision on, well, what is that threshold of pain? And how we do that is a cost recovery policy that states, great community benefit, this is what we're looking for. If it's more, kind of a niche thing than like swim teams, I think the swim teams would be different. You want to get as much cost recovery as possible from them.
Aquasol.
Aquasol, absolutely.
Their regional benefit.
Well, and we went back. We pulled they're all 501c3s, and we pulled up what they're making annually. And, they're bringing a lot of money.
So. We could have the individual leagues, teams, organizations certify the local count.
Certify.
Yeah, they just say in the contract, the MOU, it says you shall provide an annual certification of the percent
of
members that are Cameron Park residents.
We could do that.
Do you determine
they're
that,
dirty.
But the problem, of course, is how do they determine that? Because it's not so simple. So you would actually, or we?
They have a system
to get a
too.
And do it
or we get a roster with addresses.
So that we.
That's
know.
What I think. Yeah. We do. So they're using ActiveNet right now.
Control.
We have the service address.
As long as
100%.
As long as you get this, I don't know what. I mean, there's some legalities with giving out that personal information too. So you got to be careful with that.
Kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Names and addresses.
Any other public comment for this topic?
That was a good conversation.
Can we move along?
Well, there's just a lot of...
There's a lot to it, for sure.
Okay. Moving on to number five, staff updates, the check register, the ACFR, and the audit. Mm-hmm.
The check register is in there for your review. Okay. If you have any questions,
I'm
looking at Barbara.
Check register.
Well, I'm looking at where you're purchasing your janitorial supplies.
Yes.
And, of course, I don't know exactly what's encompassed mm-hmm. in that $5,800, but, you know, I had mentioned it before to Alan, and I will also offer it to you, where I would do price comparisons for, like, office supplies mm-hmm. at Sam's Club to what you're paying, because they were paying way too much for copy paper. Mm-hmm. But the same thing, maybe looking at what you're spending on your cleaning. That seems like a lot of cleaning supplies. So
The cleaning supplies, that's so high, is because we went through, we changed companies. We have a new managed solution where they replace all the soap dispensers, all the toilet purple holders, the paper towel holders, and all those. So now everything's touchless. Like it should have been.
Oh,
that's why. Correct. So they replaced everything on there, so that number shouldn't be that high.
Do you still have a third party doing the cleaning?
We have a third party doing the cleaning. We're assessing that right now and probably drop them down to 3 days a week because the season's kind of dropped off.
So on page 9, uh-huh. I thought the water bill for 89 was really out of sight.
It is, and we have discovered why.
You have a leak.
We have a leak.
Okay.
We have a leak, and it surfaced and showed itself this 2 weekends ago. And so we've got a company coming out to look at that. We had a leak detector company come out and find it because it wasn't. It's never where the water comes out. It's always someplace else.
Is
you know.
So give us any...
Really.
No.
They do not care. We've reached out to them, though.
On page 14, O'Connor and Company.
Yes.
Is that for the
That's our audit. Yes.
Not for accounting services.
No. We haven't had any accounting services from them in some time. This is all for completing the last audit.
How much is the audit?
$79.50. Mm-hmm. That's all I needed to know. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Director, did you have any questions? Nope.
Okay. ACFR?
Nothing new on that one. We're going to wait till the year closes out, and we'll start that process for the act for next year, which will be for this year once we close it out.
Okay. Comment on that? Nope. All right. Annual audit.
There's 4 or 5 companies that are out there. We've got some recommendations of a couple others, so we'll be reaching out to them and put a process together and get our next audit together. So as soon as, again, the books close, we'll be able to start that process for the next audit.
And that's an RFP?
No, it does not have to be an RFP because it falls under that threshold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it'll be quotes and probably a request for qualifications or something like that. Okay.
So does that, I guess my question would be, mm-hmm. if you did an RFP, brought to the board, you could do a multi-year agreement and not have to go through contracting again.
Well, we'd want to do that anyways. I think with anybody, we would send it out, and it would be for 3 years because you want to refresh every 3 years.
So you would do a 3-year agreement?
You do a 3-year agreement.
It's under $25,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barely. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about
8
a year.
Mm-hmm. All right. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, with everything else going up, we'll see. If the quotes come in higher, then we'll have to pivot. Okay. We'll come back. We'll do an RFP.
All right. Any comments from... Okay. Future committee meetings.
Oh, look at that. Cost recovery. Yeah. Cost recovery and the bounce check. And I'll check with them to see. I don't think we've got a ton of those.
Credit card fee is supposed to be on here, too.
Yes.
Which maybe that's part of the et cetera.
Gotcha. But. So we'll get that taken care of as well.
Okay. Items to tape to the board.
Yes.
We are just taking the...
Just the one.
Job description.
Correct. We're going to do some work on the other.
Yep.
And then we're going to bring back to you also, this is all the fee information as well.
Okay. Any matters to inform committee and...
Yeah. I'm curious how things are going with the gate at the park.
Dang, you're taking my thunder. I was going to end with that. It's going really good. Mark was out there day one, most of the day. We were chit-chatting. there wasn't a ton of upset people. I think that's more on Nextdoor. We're getting beat up on Nextdoor. But by and large, 90% of the people that came through the gate, there was no issues. They just want to know, how do I do it? Where can I buy an annual pass? I actually set Mark up with a Square device out there so he could sell the annual passes out there as well. There was a little bit of confusion online. I think you guys all got an email about there was a sign on the parking box.
Yeah.
And I think you guys got it. I wasn't going to put it out there, but just for the public and everybody, it's on the parking box itself because it's a safety thing. It's not meant for bikes and pedestrians and motorcycles, mostly because it's not going to recognize you. There's not enough metal to pick up to be able to activate anything. That's why that device is on there, or the sign is on there. So I think people were looking at that as, well, what do you mean? No pedestrian can't come into the lake. And go, no, that's not what we're saying. So we cleared that up. An individual wanted to put all that information out, and I asked her politely, hey, let us message that, because sometimes it's not always 100% accurate, and then we wind up having to clean up a little bit. But I just looked at a report today. I think we collected like $1,400, already. So we'll continue to monitor that. I think day two, Mark, we did have some issues out there, and it just had to do with it's one of those where you scan your card, you go in, and it's to prevent you from passing it back. It's called a pass back. Passing it back to your buddy, and your buddy comes in, it won't let you do that. And I think they had it set initially to where it was almost 24 hours. So people were coming back the next day going, beep, beep, and nothing was open. Yes. So he ran back out there and adjusted that. Everything was good. Everybody was fine. We had one little lady who threatened to leave her car there in front of the gate, but we got it all figured out. So, well, that's not going to help anything. But it was 100% technology. He immediately got on the phone to them. They got in there, change it. Everything was good. The only other thing was, how do I put my pass in? And so we created a little image that shows this is how you put your pass in there. But credit cards, it sounds like that's going really, really good. People are using their annual passes, and Apple Pay and Google, whatever Google's is. Tap to pay. All of that, it seems to be working. We did have an incident, it sounds like, yesterday. Knuckleheads and scooters were cruising through, and the one kid goes around, and the other one right into the gate, and bent the arm a little bit. So, I know.
That's so hard to buy.
It's supposed to break.
We have one.
Yeah.
We have one. It's supposed to break away.
Yeah.
If you hit it hard enough, yes.
Yeah.
Barely hit it hard enough. So they went out. They took care of all that. That seems to be good. And I told them, hey, pull the video. Pull the video. The only other thing is they're putting the bollards in. They tried to put one bollard in, and it's new asphalt, and so they couldn't go down deep enough to where the bolts just pull right over. And so that's to keep people from driving around. So they got a boulder out there for now. I think what we're going to do is dig with an auger, put concrete down there, put the bollard there, because it's not going to move, and that's good. The one on the other side, you remember when you did a little drive around for the fire department? That's a breakaway, so they can unlock or they can push. That one seems to be just fine. So we're good to go on not having anybody else come in there. So the lagoon, they're still looking at that and assessing that. We've got a lot of complaints right now on the algae bloom. It is the sun's out, and it's alive and well. So we do have
in the
lake. The shallow areas, we anticipated that because there's not a lot of movement, and that's what happens. But we also have some at the spill gate also, and that is the blue-green algae that's an issue. So we're looking to have that treated. The new lake management company is coming up with a lake management program for us this is what it's going to cost annually, because we need to get on that and make sure we're spraying and do the things we need to do.
But is that going to prevent it when, as I mentioned before, the gates and the poop and everything?
The poop is the problem. And he flat said
so
that.
I mean,
yes.
How are you going to prevent it when you have all those geese?
You're treating it. That the only thing we can do is just, you're just treating it more. And you only do.
Find out who came and gathered
a geese
wild
goose
the fowl
dog.
Up and took it up, to lessen.
A very smart person told me about
there.
A goose dog.
Yeah.
I'm down. Get a goose dog. Australian goose dog. There's a thing.
That's why all the geese are here.
Yes,
because
I agree.
The Cameron Park Country Club has a goose dog.
Yes.
And they fly over here. They fly to the lake. They're not on the course anymore.
That's unreal.
So
I think
we let the dogs out there.
If you just let dogs out,
I agree.
It would take care of them.
I wouldn't be letting that Roberta and her husband know about that. They'll be
oh, I did. They it's were a, all over me.
It's an employee, but it's an employee. The dog is an employee, and he has a job to do.
Yeah. No, he's,
Yeah.
But I like the idea of just letting people walk their dogs out there.
Well, I hadn't thought about it, but somebody out there, they had their dog, and I talked to them as a younger family. They just moved to Cameron Park, and I said, well, you know, we don't allow dogs. And they're like, well, we don't have kids. This is our kid, and we can't walk around the lake with our kid. And I'm like, oh.
Put it in a stroller.
People do that. You laugh. People are doing that.
I agree. I think that should come back to the board for discussion about the dogs being able to go in there.
I agree. We'll move it to the big room.
Whew. Well, have it go through Park and Rec first.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It needs to go through Park and Rec.
Well, we talked briefly about
it. That'll be dead if their money's on Park and Rec.
We talked briefly about it. It wasn't well received. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any other matters?
I think you should look at bikes, too, if we're doing that.
Look at bikes?
Yeah.
Allowing
That's
bikes?
That's Park's thing.
Yeah, no, but if...
Any other topics?
I see what you're doing.
The Budget and Administration Committee meeting. Anything else?
No. Oh, one more quick thing. I'm still going. We're going to meet with it's a company called Acorn, and apparently they are ran by Red Hawk Casino, Single Springs Band of Miwok Indians. I met them at the deal we went to, the Single Springs Chamber. And so we're going to meet, I think, Wednesday, and they're going to tell us they're all about building infrastructure, community projects, and things like that. And so he called me after the meeting. They're very interested to sit down and talk with us about some of the things we're doing and seeing if they can help.
Yeah, some Red Hawk shade structures.
You laugh. I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. We have a shade company come out and give us a quote. Yeah. They can brand them.
Yes.
They can brand all of them Red Hawk. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay. Meeting adjourned at 6:53.
And I'm going to be good.
We talked about parks.
Well, Mark at the park meeting said that he had talked to a fellow who has at some other district that has a lake, sort of like ours, with the geese problem. And guess what they